and a blessed Happy New Year. It's a blessing to be gathered with you again and to have the house a bit more filled up than it's been the past couple of weeks with people traveling and not feeling so well. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I wonder if I did ask you to raise your hands and how many of you are excited that we're at a beginning of a new year? Does that bring excitement to you? Are you looking forward to 2026? Some people get very excited at the beginning of the year, and we can leave everything that was 2025 back there. Well, I'm glad that was over. 2026, a new year. Remember a conversation that had with a friend. It was a new year, and his goal was he was going to make the gym a part of his new year. Well, he went, but he was discouraged because it was full. There were a lot of people there. And he said something to the person running the facility there about his discouragement. He'd been so excited to come, but now it's full. So many people around. And he was a bit self-conscious. The gym hadn't been part of his life, and I don't know if it ever was. He couldn't lift the weight, some of them could. Well, the guy told him, just don't worry about it. He said, it won't be long, and this place will be almost back to normal, empty. And then it hit him that there were others that had made this resolution. The gym was going to be a part of their life. Now this morning, as we face 2026, we know that as born-again believers, our sins are covered. We can live in the power of God, His promises, the truth of God's Word, the sword that is sharper than any other sword, and it divides asunder. We have the living hope. We have the book of life. But does that mean that we have flipped? Well, we didn't flip. We took that calendar off and went to new calendar. Maybe calendars are a thing of the past more. But it's a new year. But does that mean that all our troubles are behind us? Now it's 2026, a brand new year. I'd like to talk a bit today about facing adversity. Regardless of the year, regardless of the time, maybe there is some of 2025 that will stay there. But if you're like me, 2026 came and I'm facing adversity, challenges. Adversity is defined as hardship or misfortune or a difficult situation. I can almost bet I'm going to face adversity in 2026. I didn't leave that completely in the last year. Facing adversity, grief that can come into our life, part of adversity. We came through a time like that. Let me touch a bit on that more. Now, for this morning, I invite you to turn with me to Nehemiah, the first chapter. Now, it never dawned on me that the time that this happened. But here was someone that was facing adversity. Nehemiah was facing adversity. And we want to maybe glean from Nehemiah's life and how he led his own life and how he led his people through a time of adversity. They say that our life isn't determined by our circumstances, but determined by how we respond, our choices that we make per those circumstances. I'm going to pick up in verse 3 here, first chapter. Here, Nehemiah, he had asked a question. He was given an answer of where things were at, the things that concerned him. They said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Now that's a very bleak report that Nehemiah received here. Nehemiah wasn't there, but these were people that he cared deeply about. And I want you to pay special attention to Nehemiah's response to the report that he received. In verse 4, and it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. What is your response when you find out people that you care about are suffering, when they're afflicted? Now we know Nehemiah, he was a cupbearer for the king, a very influential man. But it says, I heard these words, and he sat down and wept and mourned. And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, and to the prayer of thy servants, who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant, this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. For I was the king's cup bearer. Here we can see who Nehemiah was. how God was able to use him in a mighty way. He grieved for the people of God that were suffering and afflicted. And we find here that he can't hide it. I want to read a couple verses there in chapter 2. And it came to pass in the month Nisan. That is the beginning of the Jewish year. Here Nehemiah was, as we are, at the beginning of a new year. And he was brokenhearted. He was grieved for the state of Jerusalem. We see he can't hide it. It grieved him to the very core. In verse 2, the Bible says, "Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart." For the people, his people that were experiencing shame, and they were vulnerable to the enemy's attacks. Nehemiah, a man of God, even though he wasn't in that situation, he confessed the sins of the people we see. He reminded God that the very people that were prone to fall away, they were his people. God had made promises to them. And Nehemiah was remembering and bringing those to God and interceding for the people that were suffering. Facing adversity. Now in verses 17 and 18. What do you do when you face adversity? When you face opposition? Now our enemies today may not look like Nehemiah's enemies did. But we face opposition. We face discouragement. Here, Nehemiah's heart was grieved. And he could have taken it to God and said, "God, please fix that situation." But Nehemiah was more about that. And here in verse 17, Nehemiah's called the people together. He's called some people together. "Then said I unto them, Ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach." It grieved Nehemiah's heart that the state that things were in were being a reproach to God. Does that grieve you today? The state that the kingdom of God is in, the state that the church is in. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your friends that are bringing reproach to the name of God. Does it grieve you like it did Nehemiah, where it wasn't just what he felt, it was shown in his countenance? A story goes, I don't know that it's a true story, but two cars that pulled up to a stop sign, not a stop sign, a red light, a traffic signal light. two cars while the light turned green. And the first car had a distracted driver in it, obviously, and he didn't go. So the lady behind him wanted to encourage him. There's the green light, go. She honked the horn, didn't go, honked it again. He was still just sitting there with his head down. Now more cars are coming up, and some went around. But I guess she thought it was her job to wake this person up. Pay attention. So she honked the horn some more. Pretty soon she put the window down. He still didn't go. And she's waving her arm and she's hollering out the window, honking the horn some more. The light turns yellow. And just before it turned red, he looked up, took off, leaving no time for the Good Samaritan behind him that was trying to get him to pay attention, to sit through another red light. All at once there was she just laid on the horn. There was a knock on her window, and it was a police officer. And he asked her to kindly step out, and he arrested her. Supposedly a true story. I don't know if it is or not. But he arrested her, took her to the police station, and after just an hour or two, came back to her and said, "I am sorry about the unfortunate misunderstanding." He was embarrassed and was trying to explain what had happened, but he said, "On the back of your car, you know, you have the fish emblem," and she had other bumper stickers on there. I can't remember what they said. Christian gospel bumper stickers proclaiming God. And he said, "When I read all of that on the back of your car, I was certain you must have stole this car from your behavior." Bringing reproach to the name of God. That's what the broken down walls, that's what the city represented. This was the city of Jerusalem. And it was bringing reproach, and it grieved Nehemiah. Then I told them, in verse 18, "Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's word that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build." So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Facing adversity. Now the walls lay in ruins for many, many years. I think over 100 years, if I recall correctly, that these walls lay in ruin. Nehemiah could have said, "It's just over. It's too much work." It's too great of a task. The people have fallen away, and it's not worth it. I'll just go off and do something else. But Nehemiah remembered God's promises, and he had a heart for God's people, for his people, even though it had been so many years. And so they begin to rebuild. And the encouragement I want to give to you today, in spite of adversity, in spite of opposition, that we strengthen our hands in this new year for the good work that God calls us to do, even through opposition and trials. In chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, "So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." For the people had a mind to work. As Nehemiah encouraged them and talked to them and said, "Listen, God has promised that He would bring us back, that His work would continue, that this was a city that God cared about." As you begin 2026, I don't know what the adversity is in your life, what you're facing. But do you have a mind to work? Do you have a mind to work? Will you rise up and be part of God's kingdom and put your hand to that work? I want to draw your attention in chapter 6, verses 15 and 16. It was a hard work. They were mocked. They were opposed. Nehemiah's life was threatened. They not only had to build, but they also had to defend. They had to be vigilant of the enemies around them. It was hard work. They couldn't let their guard down. Just because we have a mind to work and we join together, as I hope we are here at Hillcrest, to do the good work that God has called us as the kingdom of God, that doesn't mean that adversity is not going to be a part of our life, that we're not going to face opposition. And they faced it. He was mocked. One of them even said, "What a poor wall. If a fox tried to climb up, the thing would fall down. Can't even keep foxes out." But Nehemiah remembered God's promises. Now in verse 15 in chapter 6, this wall that had lay in ruins for many, many years, decades, the people joined together to rebuild it. Now in verse 15, "So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul, in 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, that they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God." Now, it wasn't because the wall was built perfectly. The work of God's kingdom doesn't always look seamless. Somewhere I had read that they had unearthed a section of this wall. Just in recent years, our historian Keith could probably tell us about that. They knew this was the wall. They could tell that it was put together quickly. It wasn't perfect. But God blessed it. God blessed the work of their hands. Hands that were willing. People that had a mind to work. A task that was so large that their enemies just ridiculed them and laughed. Isn't it amazing what God can do when there is a group of people that have a mind to work? That will allow their hands to be a part of God's work, part of His kingdom. We see throughout all of this story that opposition, adversity, struggles were a part of this story. And yet Nehemiah united the people, and they each went about to build this wall. Nehemiah, a humble man, it was the beginning of the year, just as we are now. But Nehemiah, seeing what needed to be done, and he wanted to do it, but he needed the help of the people. He couldn't do it on his own. They started well. How are you starting the new year? We can start like my friend did. He was one of the many that exited the gym after a short time. He wanted to get into better shape, but just not that bad. We can start off, we can bust out of the gate. We can begin 2026 with a mind to work, hands that are willing. But what happens when we face adversity? Here the people had a mind, they had a willingness, and they built this wall. But even then, life wasn't perfect for them. It wasn't that all was well and they had utopia in the city. It's not like they just said, look at what we did. Now we're just going to live the rest of our life like that in perfect unity and harmony. What happens? What are the first thoughts in your mind when you are part of a work, you feel called to the work, you feel fulfilled in the work, and all at once adversity comes knocking? We find with the people here, one way we can respond to adversity is complaining. Are you a serial complainer? Is that how you face adversity? Well, God, you called us to do this. You called us to Hillcrest. Do I have to remind you of everything that I sacrificed to come here? Why didn't you let me know how hard the people at Hillcrest are to get along with, and I may have not showed up? That's one way we can face adversity, is by complaining. But complaining drains life from happiness. We don't live a happy life if we're a chronic complainer. Keeps us from experiencing joy. Nehemiah could have said, well, we tried, but now they're not just threatening us, they're coming against us. This is too dangerous. They're not just making fun of how we're building the wall. They're actually trying to stop us. And so I want to encourage you this morning. That despite adversity, despite disappointments, despite all circumstances, the work must go on. And the work will go on. Will you choose to be a part of it? Will you choose to be one that has a mind to work? To be part of God's work, to be part of His kingdom? Or has 2026, 2025 brought too many adversities? And now you find yourself at the beginning of 2026 saying, it's too hard. I know I signed up to come to Hillcrest, but I didn't sign up for all of this. God, find someone else. But I encourage you this morning, the work must go on. Don't be a part of God's kingdom that brings reproach to His name. There is a song we sing. If you're happy and you know it, then your life will surely show it. I'd like to play on those words a bit. If you have a Bible and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If today is the only day that you open your Bible, then your life is surely going to show it. Remember a saying from childhood that a pastor quoted, something along these lines. 7 days without reading the Bible makes 1 week. Not W-E-E-K, not that kind of week. But 7 days without reading the Bible makes 1 week. May have shared this here before, but I think it's good to do it again. They had done an extensive study. I think it was a secular study, not Christian people. But they did a study to see what the effect of Bible reading had on people. If this is actually the Word of God, if this is the Book of Life, then it should make a difference. That was their thought. And they said, we're going to see if it actually makes a difference. They did this study on over 400,000 people. 400,000. This is what they found. If people read the Bible 1 to 3 times a week, it had little to no effect, they found. 1 to 3 times a week. They called it the power of four. They said, now if people read the Bible four times or more, there was a drastic change in the lives of these Bible readers. 228% more likely to witness, to share their faith. 228% more likely to witness. 407% more likely to memorize Scripture. 59% less likely to view pornography. 30% less likely to experience loneliness. 74% less likely to gamble. 231% more likely to disciple others. 60% decrease in feelings of spiritual stagnation. 32% decrease in anger. Is Jesus a part of your life? I didn't write them all down, but they were less likely to be bitter people by a large margin. Is Jesus a part of your life? Do you have a mind to work? Now, the people here, they had found themselves in a bad place. Nehemiah saw it. They had fallen away from God and had fallen into the hands of the enemies. Why? They had fallen away from God. Well, after they rebuilt the wall, I invite you to turn to Nehemiah, the 10th chapter. Just want to quickly draw out a couple thoughts here. That the work must go on, and how we do it. How we do it is very important. Here in Nehemiah, the 10th chapter, they had rebuilt the wall. They had spiritual, economical, physical order again in the city. But as they looked at it, they wanted to make sure that it wouldn't repeat again. How do we continue the work in the midst of adversity and not give in to discouragement and fear and all the other things? Now in verse 29, they clave to their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and into an oath to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and to do all the commandments of the Lord, our Lord, and His judgments and His statutes. That's how we successfully face adversity and continue the work with willing hands and a mind to work. Don't have time to go into more of it. But this was the beginning. They said, we are going to build our foundation on the truth of God's work, and we will not deviate from it. Our city, our people, for years experienced destruction, turmoil, grief, discouragement, loneliness, fear. They were completely exposed to the enemy. Why? Because they fell away from God. Nehemiah led the people. and said, we have to build on the Word of God, the truth of God's Word, the foundation to do all the commandments. We're going to face adversity in 2026. Yet we can have hope, peace, anticipation, even excitement. As I see each of you sitting here, how God can so powerfully use you, the work that He can do in your life for you and so many others. Maybe that's some homework that I should send home with you. Nehemiah 10, verses 29 to the end of the chapter. To see what they committed to. They made a commitment, an oath, to protect their people, to keep from bringing reproach to the name of God. We will follow all His commandments. That's how you have protection from the enemy today. Through adversity, you can have that hedge of protection. God's blessings to each of you as you begin 2026. Let's stand for a word of prayer, then we'll dismiss with a song. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we thank You for today. We thank You that Your promises are sure, that they never fail, that as we face a new year, it's unknown to us, but it's known to You. Father, I pray for courage and strength for each one here, that we would commit our hands and our minds, that we would be willing, that we would want to be a part of Your kingdom, to do Your work that has everlasting value, that the way we live our life, that it's not just lip service. But that it's a genuine experience. That the love that You have will flow through our lives, changing our lives and the lives of those around us. Father, that in no way we would bring reproach to Your kingdom, to Your name. That whatever is said and done through my life and the lives that are here, that people will see, just as people did so long ago, that it was Your hand, it was Your work, it was Your power that built the wall. And the people were willing to be used by You. Oh God, I just pray that we would commit every area of our life to Your will and to Your way. May You dismiss us with Your blessings. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.